Philly Built is brought to you by PhillyZoning.com, which is powered by Anastasio Law, a boutique zoning, real estate, and permitting law firm in the Rittenhouse Square neighborhood of Philadelphia.
There is a
You're
right
a
here.
Crumb creep coward. I want to fight you.
Why is that?
Because you're a crumb creep lush coward.
You don't even know me, Mayor.
You are a lush, I can tell by looking at you. I was a cop all my life, and I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
You're a creep. Get away from me, crumb.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the third season finale of Philly Built. So I'm sure you haven't given much thought to what's happening in 2026, but rest assured, a lot of people are. 2026 is going to be a big year for Philadelphia. The FIFA World Cup and Major League Baseball's All-Star Game and the 250th birthday of our country will ensure nearly a million people will be visiting us that summer of 26. So what do we have planned for all this company? Well, today we have a doubleheader. We'll be talking to the folks who are going to make sure that the summer of 2026, and most especially our nation's 250th birthday, is going to be bigger, better, and more accessible to ordinary Philadelphians like never before. So first up, we talk to Danielle DeLeo Kim, who runs Philadelphia 250. It's a nonprofit organization making sure every neighborhood in the city gets in on the fun. So listen up right now on the third season finale of Philly Built. Danielle DeLeo Kim, welcome to Philly Built.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited. As you know, this is the last episode of our third season. It's all about the future. It's all about 2026 and the promise of Philadelphia in that year and beyond. So 2026, like I said, big year, big summer. Of course, we've got the World Cup games, which is going to be huge. I think they estimate 500,000 people just coming in for that, if not more. You've got MLB, All-Star Game, baseball coming right here to Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park. One of the, if not the premier baseball park in America. And then Welcome America 250, which is the arm of the Philadelphia, visitor industry that will handle the parades and the concerts and, you know, Elton John or whoever will come and do his thing. And but Philadelphia 250 is very unique because you're working throughout the city. This just isn't about Old City or the ballpark or, you know, or the sports, you know, area in general with Lincoln Financial Field. This is through every neighborhood, every council district. So talk to me about your the mission and what you've got planned. From what I see, you've already been doing stuff.
Yes, you're right. We are at Philadelphia 250 creating a new milestone commemoration, really thinking about how can the entire city of Philadelphia and the people who live here, and the places where we live, work, and play, really get to participate and economically benefit? And how do we address people's needs by leveraging this milestone? So we really serve kind of two purposes. We are both a source and a resource. So as a source, we are a source of 250th related programming that we will help create that will take place around the city. And we serve as a resource to the public and to organizations, whether they are cultural, community, historic, that are planning their own 250th of related programs and events. So in that capacity, we help to convene organizations and individuals through a program called People's Programs for the 250th. So right now, organizations who want to put something special on for the 250th or have their own history that they want to celebrate that year can register with us. Let us know what that programming is. The programming that we're doing is really focused in kind of three areas. One is really people-driven programming about civics and inclusive storytelling. The second piece is about places, place-based experiences in neighborhood corridors around the city. And then the third piece is around purpose-driven legacy projects. The people-driven programs that we're offering around civic engagement and storytelling will primarily be done through what we're calling our declaration station. And we've just completed we had a design competition where a number of teams helped to envision literally a physical platform or stoop where conversations can be had and people can make a declaration for an action that they plan to take in terms of their citizen activity for 2026. We're kind of modeling something, a prompt after the Declaration of Independence, this idea of, you know, these are these grievances and things that I don't see right in the world. This is how I want to improve it. I'm going to take this action and I'm pledging my name, kind of similar to how a structure of the declaration was written.
That's cool. Yeah. And it's nice that it's not just airing of grievances, you know, it's actually, because we're really good at that in Philly, you know, as you know, but it's more than that. It's identifying a solution and then pledging to actually do something about it.
Right.
And these declaration stations, based on the material I read, are supposed to be like eye-catching, mobile sort of traveling stages, if you will, right? Yes. And will it go through all the different neighborhoods of the city?
The idea is that we'll move it around the city, yes, and maybe there'll be a some sort of app. There won't be an app, but there'll be something. You'll know where the declaration station is. If you want to get involved. We're also right now piloting it with a number of museums and other media sources for us to kind of test out how people react to the prompts and what are the different types of prompts. Like, it doesn't only have to be written. It could be a video. It could be, you know, there could be other ways that people can express themselves and we can capture that. And the idea is that over the next few years, we can capture these declarations, and then in 2026, there will be some sort of reporting out, and throughout the years, we're collecting other declarations about what we're hearing from the public at large and the actions that folks are declaring they're going to take. So it's meant to be both gathering information and then like reporting it back out and sharing what we've heard.
Very cool. And yeah, is it going to be one station or will there be several at the same time?
We're still working that. I believe there will be one that will move around. Okay. Those are some of the final design things that we're still resolving.
Sure. You have a little time on that.
Yeah.
And will it have its own Instagram account? Because like a food truck, that where folks follow their favorite food truck. I know I'm one of them. I think people might be really interested in following the declaration station all over the city. And this way they would know in real time where it's going to be this Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We do have an Instagram account now, Philadelphia 250. You can find us on Instagram and all the other platforms there are. And our website, I should have mentioned, the website is philadelphia250.us.
Talk about the neighborhood gateways, which I understand will be cultural locations in every council district. I think it's very smart, by the way, that you recognize that we have 10 kingdoms in this city with 10 kings or queens known as council members. So I think it's very practical on Philadelphia 250's part to approach this that way. So talk about the neighborhood gateways in every council district.
Sure. So our vision for having a united city, right, in 2026 to also help deliver upon Mayor Parker's vision of a united city is that we want to make sure that there are economic opportunities and cultural opportunities that highlight the diversity of the city. And the one way that we thought about doing this is identifying 10 neighborhood commercial corridors and or an adjacent park or public space that could essentially serve as a cultural programming hub for a weekend in 2026. So if we pick 10 locations, that would be 10 weekends throughout 2026, most likely May through October, because those are the good months when people want to be outside, in which a different neighborhood or a different commercial corridor, neighborhood commercial corridor, would serve as host. And Philadelphia 250 would, of course, bring our declaration station. The plan is that we would, of course, work with and design the experiences of what these gateways would be like with the commercial corridor managers, the business associations that might be located there, the civic associations, whatever RCOs are close by. But what we felt is really important is that we can highlight these different locations around the city. We can work with the local stakeholders and perhaps the cultural civic sites that are located there, as it's a way of basically telling a broader story of American history. It's highlighting and celebrating the diversity of the city, and it helps put money in people's pockets in a very hyper local way. And then perhaps most important of all, it really builds kind of civic pride that we all believe is kind of lacking a little bit across Philadelphia as a whole. So it's an opportunity to, you know, really let each of these areas really shine, and at the same time share what might be unique about their particular part of the corner of the world that others don't know about. So we're looking at the big, you know, these are neighborhood commercial corridors. So it could be 52nd Street, could be, you know, the west end of Girard Avenue. It could be Frankfort Avenue, Germantown Avenue, of course, Passyunk Avenue, Woodland Avenue in Southwest Philadelphia. Like, there are immigrant communities, there are historic sites, there are cultural communities all over the city that sometimes we don't get out of our own neighborhood bubbles, right?
Our own bubble, that's
to
correct.
To go around and experience other places of the city.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of Philadelphia is that it's a very neighborhood oriented city. And for a large part of the 19th century and at least half of the 20th century, people could just live there. Right. They could live there. They could work there. They can go to the bank there. They can do all their shopping there. So traditionally, Philadelphians stay close to home. So the idea, and that's changing now, of course, as we become a modern metropolitan, you know, big city in the 21st century. So the idea that you're bringing folks back to these neighborhood corridors, it certainly is a potential for making some money for small business people, which is nice, but also just highlighting and enhancing civic pride.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Talk about the Stoop and Porch Parade, because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, so this is something that could happen beyond the gateways. It doesn't have to happen just in these kind of economic programming areas. So this is an idea that we've done some research into this that came out of the Mardi Gras parade during COVID of what happened in Louisiana when they couldn't do a gathering, a traditional parade. So what happened was they offered and encouraged people to decorate their own porches. And then there was an interactive map, right, of where the most extravagant porches were. And you could travel around the city and go kind of see what different parts of their neighborhoods had done differently. So we're looking at this now as an opportunity that could also be a fun thing to do across neighborhoods. You could even do a little bit of a competition for, you know, decorating your stoop or your porch, and then encouraging folks to go around and visit. We've talked with different bicycle groups about organizing, you know, bicycle rides through neighborhoods to do this. It's similar to what West Philadelphia does with their
Porch Fest,
right?
Yeah, it's
so
awesome.
So it's kind of like a bigger scale Porch Fest, but maybe it happens in multiple neighborhoods. So That's the vision for that. And that is something that I think could just be a fun thing to do probably around the 4th of July when block parties and people hanging out on stoops anyway, kind of makes sense.
That's what I was thinking. First thing I was thinking was, I don't know any Philadelphian who actually calls it a stoop, but that's cool. You know, the Philadelphia 250, I think, is just very unique. And I want to thank you for joining us today, Danielle, because we know 1876 was a big year. Although I guess it was of all the celebrations, and I'm not even going to try to say sesquicentennial, you know, I'm not even going to get into that pronunciation, but of all these big birthdays that Philadelphia has sort of been on the stage for, more often than not, you know, we kind of stepped in it a few times, you know. The 1876, I think, went pretty well, the 100th anniversary, but the two subsequent ones, I think it was 1926, yeah, right? And of course, 1976, neither really went as planned. I think one ended up with the Legionnaires' disease and a whole bunch of other stuff that nobody really foresaw, wanted, or planned for. But in no case did really the celebration emanate from anywhere but the, you know, Independence Hall, right? Or, you know, maybe FDR Park, like you said, but really the, you know, these iconic historical sorts of places. Never did any of the celebrations or the activity emanate from the neighborhoods themselves. And I think that's why this is just a wonderful program. And really unique. And I want to make sure that you get the last word in telling our listeners what else they should look forward to with respect to your programming and all Philadelphia 250 will be offering and how they might get involved.
Great. Thank you. Yes. I mean, we're excited that 2026, the semi-quincentennial, will be the people's commemoration.
How hard, how often did you have to actually practice that
semi-quincentennial?
Semi-quincentennial.
Here, I'll tell you the easy way to say it. So,
okay.
Semi-quin is half of 500.
Semi-quin, got that.
And then you're just, it's half of five, and then centennial is 100. So, semi-quincentennial.
So, really, the tough part is getting down that semi-quin.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But go on.
So yeah, we're excited that the semi-quincentennial of the country in 2026 will be this people's commemoration, an event in which we say we want everyone to feel included and that neighborhoods can benefit from the economic, the social, and the civic investments that are happening.
Well, Danielle DeLeo Kim of Philadelphia 250, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for explaining to all of us what we have to look forward to in 2026 and your efforts to ensure that when we celebrate the birth of this great nation, we are continuing to try to be a more perfect union. Thank you. Up next, folks, we talk to the man in charge of throwing the country's biggest birthday party for the United States, Mr. Michael Delbane of Welcome America. He'll be talking to us today about what he has planned for Philadelphia in the year 2026 and what we might expect for what will be the biggest citywide celebration in a generation. We're talking the summer of 2026 right here on Philly Built. Michael Delbane, welcome to Philly Built.
Thanks for having me, Vern. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great that you could make it. This is the season finale of our third season here at Philly Built, and it's all about the future. It's about the summer of 2026, and what better person to have on our podcast than the man who throws the biggest 4th of July party in the country, for Welcome America Incorporated. So tell me, 2 years ago, by the way, when you were interviewed by one of the local papers, you said that This 2026 was going to permanently transform the trajectory of Philadelphia, and there would be some really big things coming out that would stick with Philly forever. 2 years later, where are we with any of that?
Yeah, well, I believed it then, and I believe it even more now. And each day that we get closer to 2026, I believe it a little more each day. 2026 is going to be a transformational time for the city of Philadelphia. And I believe that if Philadelphia does what it is planning to do and takes advantage of this incredible confluence of global events and this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, that we will fundamentally be a different city going forward. 2027 will be a year where the city of Philadelphia is really viewed as one of the iconic top destinations for tourism, hospitality, events, food and beverage, sports, in the world. We already are established as a great destination to come and bring your family to experience all of the things that are wonderful about this city. And I think that after 2026, we are going to be able to demonstrate that we do it better than anybody else, and that the biggest events in the world can come to Philadelphia and can succeed here. And when you are able to demonstrate that to the world, it is a domino effect of things that happen. Conventions and conferences look to Philadelphia and say, we can go there. Sporting events and annual events that are the biggest and most complex and most intricate events in the world look at Philadelphia and say, we can go there. And families from around the world who may not have ever thought about Philadelphia as a destination will say, we can go there and we want to go there. And so that's the opportunity that really lies in front of us in 2026. And the work that has begun in earnest many, many years ago and continues every day, that is our central mission, is to make sure that 2026 is a year like no other.
And the summer of 2026, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, I know you and I are, but just to make sure everybody's on the same page. First of all, the big one, the United States of America is celebrating its 250th birthday right here in the place where it was born. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty big, pretty darn big as far as I'm concerned. It's my favorite holiday. Number two, Major League Baseball is going to have their All-Star game right here at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. And you've got the World Cup.
Yeah.
Also having several matches here right here in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. So we've got a ton of people. We've got company coming, yeah. Right? I mean, that's, as my mom would say, time to bring out the good dishes and the pound cake. What do you have planned? I mean, listen, Welcome America has become synonymous with 4th of July celebrations just every year. But this is big. This is like Smokey Robinson did. Like, this is big, right?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So, yeah. So tell me, what's planned for the birthday party?
Sure. Well, the first thing that we think about, to your point about how, you've got four iconic global things happening at the same time, right? The 250th anniversary, Wawa Welcome America, FIFA, and Major League Baseball. Those things are all going to happen within, in the same 60 days, from about June 1st to about July 31st. Everything is going to happen at the exact same time. And one of the things that we've really gotten creative about is making sure that while each one of these major entities has their own lane, and we don't interfere with one another, and we don't, plan anything that would cause any one of the other organizations or any one of the other events angst or challenges. We're also thinking about how we integrate them and how we take advantage of the fact, lean into the fact that these things are all happening at the same time. I mean, obviously, in the lead position, because it is such a global event, is the FIFA World Cup coming to Philadelphia. We want to make sure that we capture the energy, the excitement, and the tourism that is associated with that, right? I mean, that really is the pole position, because it's something that has never happened in Philadelphia and may never happen again for a long, long time. We want to make sure we lean into that. But for an organization like Welcome America, who is planning a festival that will likely double in size, both in terms of the number of events that we do and the style of events that we do and the type of events that we do, we want to make sure that when we think about the choices that we make about planning for the largest birthday party in the country, that we're taking into consideration the tourism and the people and the infrastructure that's coming for FIFA, for Major League Baseball, and for folks celebrating the 250th anniversary. And what I like to say is, you know, if you are coming from around the world to Philadelphia, you may go to a FIFA match, and that's going to take a couple of hours. And you may, you know, do a couple of things, but you basically have 10 to 12 hours of the day when you don't have anything else to do. And you're going to step outside your hotel with your family, and you're going to look left and look right and say, okay, I want to experience this incredible city. It's Wawa Welcome America's job to make sure that our city is activated and vibrant, and that there's events happening, and that there's parades and fireworks and neighborhood activations. And Danielle and the incredible folks at Philadelphia 250 want to make sure that the historical perspective and the communities and neighborhoods are activated. Folks that visit Philadelphia are doing an amazing job to make people aware of our incredible hotels, our cultural attractions, our food and beverage. You know, all of the entities are working together to make sure that we maximize all 24 hours of your day. Because the fact is that, you know, if you come from around the world, and this might be the first time that you've come to America, you're not just going to come to Philadelphia, right? Nobody comes all the way to America and just comes to Philadelphia. You're going to want to see Washington, D.C. You're going to want to come to New York. We understand that. What we want to make sure that we do is give you every reason to stay here for as long as you possibly can before you go explore Washington, D.C. and New York. And that is a challenge. And I use that word specifically, that's a challenge that we accept, and we take that seriously, and we are going to create the most vibrant, the most engaging, the most fun city for those 2 months that we possibly can, to ensure that when folks step off the plane or get out of their car in Philadelphia, we give them every excuse to stay here for as long as they can.
And I know you're coordinating with Visit Philadelphia. Will there be programming and marketing, like multi-day stay sorts of packages for something like that, so folks can experience more than just one soccer game?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's really at the root of what we're all working on is, you know, we've gotten some information and statistics that, you know, tourism associated with the World Cup, you know, folks generally come to the country for anywhere between 10 to 14 days. They want to see as many World Cup games as they can. They want to experience so much of that country because it might be the only World Cup that they get to go to. I mean, this is a pilgrimage for a lot of people. Some people have the resources and are blessed to be able to do it every couple of years. Some people may do it once in their life. And so, yes, you're going to come to America, let's say, for 14 days. And, you know, Boston, which is a World Cup host city, and New York, you know, those are close by. So we want to make sure that, and again, we do everything we can to compel you to stay in Philadelphia. If we just, you know, do what we normally do, that's a pretty compelling story. But it's not going to be enough to compete with people who are eager to see as much of a country as they can. So we know we got to ratchet it up. We know we've got to really do special programs, special events, and really give people a reason to want to stick around and see as much of Philadelphia and spend as much time here as they possibly can.
Yeah, as much as, you know, I love, you know, the Welcome America celebration yearly, and many people do. The status quo, forget it. We expect more. We expect like extra, you know. So, and I know you're going to deliver. Where are these folks coming from for FIFA? I know you've done research on that. So who are they?
Yeah. Well, you know, they are, there's tourism associated with FIFA. There is tourism associated with the amazing conventions and conferences that are being hosted in Philadelphia in 2026. The CVB does an amazing job of selling Philadelphia as a convention destination. And those conventions, frankly, are going to happen all year long. They're going to start in January and go through the end of December. So all year long, there's going to be a significant increase in people coming here. You know, for FIFA, I think a lot of that, and I'm not an expert in soccer, you know, the team at Philadelphia Soccer, Meg Kane and her colleagues are really the experts in this. But I mean, I think folks are primarily going to come when we know which teams are playing in Philadelphia, right? The countries that are represented. If Argentina is playing Italy, you're going to have a lot of Italians and a lot of Argentinians, right? And
so that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be a heck of a match. But, you know, I think that A lot of that is going to be driven by the countries. A lot of that is going to be driven by people who just follow soccer as a sport. I mean, soccer is the most popular sport on the planet. It may not be here necessarily in America, but it's a burgeoning sport. It's still, I think, in America, but it's the most popular sport on the planet. So there are people who are going to come here who don't even care which teams are playing. And they're already booking their tickets and they're already coming here because they just want to be part of what's going on. And then you have the incredible amount of people who come to work on these events, who work on Major League Baseball, work on FIFA. They're part of the media and they're with the teams and they're the, you know, the infrastructure and the vendors and all that. We want to make sure they have a great time too. Because again, you know, Philadelphia is going to have six matches and that's incredible. One of them on July 4th. What an incredible opportunity for us to show off our city. We want to make sure that whether you're a tourist, a fan, or anybody who just finds themselves lucky enough to be in Philadelphia, that you're going to have something really, really special here.
And when they come from South America and or Europe and Australia, or wherever they come from, they are going to smack up right against Hoagie Day.
That's right.
Which is one of my favorite days of Welcome America.
Yeah.
In the old days, you know, I remember a giant hoagie that people would just come and grab. What does Hoagie Day look like today post-COVID? Is it still like a free-for-all pandemonium? Everyone's going after this monster hoagie, or what's the deal with that?
Well, it's a little more controlled chaos than it used to be.
Now,
Wawa every year will distribute on Wawa Hoagie Day about 30,000 free hoagies. And now they are, because of COVID, they're all individually wrapped and you get a bag that has a hoagie and potato chips and a bottle of water and maybe some tasty cakes or other treats in there. And we distribute those to people who come down to Independence Mall to get them. We also work, the team at Welcome America works with Wawa to make sure that hoagies are distributed to police stations, firehouses, EMT response centers, city employees, things like that, like the people who are really working on behalf of the city of Philadelphia. Remember, Hoagie Day was created as a way to say thank you to those people who serve our communities. And so what we do a great job of making sure that we also go out for people who may not be able to come down to Independence Mall and grab a hoagie. We deliver them to them. We also
I did not know that.
Really is a special component. And as a matter of fact, during COVID, when Wawa Hoagie Day was a curbside distribution model, we had a hero lane where police officers and fire trucks could come through. And it was amazing to see, you know, police officers and firefighters jump, you know, in their cars and on their trucks and pull through the hero lane. And we handed them a bag and they went on their way.
It was cool.
It was a really, really special, special time and a bright spot in what was often a very, very dark period for us. But yeah, we will continue to do that. We will continue to also make a huge contribution of hoagies to Philabundance. They are a great partner of ours on Wawa Hoagie Day. We want to make sure that we're able to utilize their distribution network to get foods into the hands of Philadelphians. But, you know, you talked about, tourists coming here and butting up against Wawa Hoagie Day. What an incredible Philadelphia experience outside your hotel, walk down because you want to see the Liberty Bell and stumble upon, you know, 30 or 40 or 50,000 people on Independence Mall grabbing what is probably the most iconic Philadelphia food, right? I mean, some may say the cheesesteak. I would say Wawa, right? But, you know, a Wawa shorty, could there be a more iconic Philadelphia moment? What a way to be delighted and surprised by what you discover when you are here in the city of Philadelphia. And like I said at the beginning, that's what's going to get people to say to their families, hey, maybe we should stick around for a few more days. It seems like there's a lot going on in this city and I don't want to miss it. And obviously, you know, Visit Philly will do an amazing job of letting people know what to expect even before they get here. But what a wonderful way to experience Philadelphia.
Right. I think it's fantastic. Another one of my favorites, it was always the concert the night before the 4th of July, the Philly Pops in front of Independence Mall, which, you know, is really where it all happened. And it was very reminiscent for me, spending summers up in Boston. Pop Goes the Fourth at the Hat Shell is huge. Yeah. And it's just classical and wonderful. And that's why I loved Pop Goes the Fourth. With the Philly Pops sort of no longer around, What's the plan for that?
Yeah. So this year, and again in 2025 and 2026, if schedules permit, on the evening of July 3rd, we are bringing right to that same stage on Independence Mall, right in front of the hall, the United States Army Field Band, which is the official band of the United States Army. And they come in uniform, and there are 40 musicians and 20 chorus members that come, and they perform those iconic American standards, that real, true, traditional, patriotic celebration. We call it Salute to Service. That is our musical way, much like Wawa Hoagie Day is a fun and food way of saying thank you to those who serve. This is our musical way of saying thank you to those who serve. And this year, we're going to be announcing soon on May 14th at our press conference that we have a special guest coming to perform with the United States Army Field Band to really preserve that. Just what you said, the night before July 4th is an opportunity to go down to Independence Mall, really think about what happened there, think about the legacy that was created by those people in that building, and celebrate that by saying thank you to the men and women who wear the uniform, all types of uniforms, and serve our country. So it's going to be great traditional American programming right there on the night of July 3rd. And it will never replace the Pops. The Pops were special. We're not trying to really replace them. We're just trying to backfill that opportunity with something similar.
Yeah. I mean, people would take picnics and on the lawn, and it just was, you know, in the 18th century, the parkway didn't exist. The art museum didn't exist. Those steps didn't exist. So there's something to be said for celebrating there in Old City. You said there's a special guest who's going to be joining the Army Band on the 3rd. Is it Patti LaBelle? I mean, you could tell.
Come on. I can't tell you who it is. And
you can make news.
I can't tell you who it is. I can't tell you who it's not.
It's just between us, Michael. It's just between us.
Yeah. But on May 14th, we will announce that as part of our entire festival lineup.
All right. I guess I'll have to wait. But make some news about, let's shift on the other side of town, the Parkway.
The July 4th Party on the Parkway is back, as it is every single year. We will have a concert and fireworks again this year. The gates open at 4 p.m., the concert's at 7, and the fireworks are at 9:45. We have at least two, if not more, iconic artists coming. It's going to be a big party. We've got great names coming this year. Again, I can't reveal them until May 14th when we roll out.
Wait a minute. It's Elton John, isn't it?
Elton John has a standing invitation. He can come back anytime he wants. He is a son of Philadelphia. He sang, you know, Philadelphia Freedom. He is always
right. That's why I pulled the Elton John card, I guess. Okay, so it's not Elton John.
It's not Elton John this year. No, but if he's listening, he's welcome.
Bruce Springsteen? Maybe, right?
You know what I will say is it is two artists that are going to capture the energy of the crowd that is out there. You know, we are very, very intentional about who we invite. We want to make sure that it's music and that it's genres and that it's messages that resonate with Philadelphians. We've been very fortunate to work with Live Nation and the team there to help bring, you know, iconic global talent to July 4th year after year after year. And this year will be no different.
And there will be a 4th of July parade as well before the party on the Parkway, right?
That's right. So there are three main events on July 4th. The day begins with the Celebration of Freedom ceremony, which is on the backside of Independence Mall, right behind the building in that courtyard of Independence Hall. And we, again, stop and say thank you to those who serve. We honor great Philadelphia citizens who are doing amazing things. The mayor will be there. Mayor Parker this year will give out her first ever award as mayor in her first year to an outstanding Philadelphia citizen or entity that is doing great work on behalf of the city of Philadelphia. We have the Celebrate Freedom Award, which is to a former service member who has left the military and gone on to do amazing things for their community. And of course, we'll have the Wawa Hero Awards, which are cash prizes and grants that are given to nonprofit organizations doing great work in the city of Philadelphia. That starts the day. Then the July 4th parade goes right up Market Street. It is an incredible parade. It gets thousands and thousands of participants, floats, marching bands, and, you know, military bands and all of that stuff. And that happens right around 11 a.m. noonish on July 4th. And then we invite everybody to head out to the Parkway for the party at night.
Okay, but that happens every year.
That does.
So what's new about 2026?
Well, I think, you know, in 2026, you know, it's a little early for us to be able to announce hard and fast plans of what we're doing in 2026. But I think what you're going to see is it is not Welcome America's intention to reinvent the wheel. You know, as you said right at the beginning, we are already the largest, most robust July 4th celebration in America. We're also one of the largest free festivals in America. I mean, that's what makes Welcome America truly unique, is that everything that we do, 16 days, over 50 events, hundreds of thousands of people, it is entirely free. There is not one financial barrier to participation. And so we're unique in that way. And we're already one of the largest free festivals in America. It's not our intention to reinvent the wheel. We know we've got an incredible expression of the city of Philadelphia. What we are committed to in 2026 is doing more of it and doing it bigger. So, you know, what you might see in 2026 is the Party on the Parkway be a two-night experience, right? Maybe, you know, or a multiple-night experience. Maybe the July 4th concert is not the only mega concert, you know, in Philadelphia that year, right? We sort of work up to that, and it has always been sort of the grand finale of the festival. Maybe there's a concert that big at the front end of the festival. Maybe there's a concert that big in the middle of the festival. Again, we're not thinking about how we completely redo it. We're just thinking about how we do more of it and do it better.
As far as fireworks are concerned, will there be fireworks in Old City at all?
So the challenge of fireworks this year in Old City is we have normally used them as the grand finale of events that take place at our waterfront, at Penn's Landing and the Incredible Waterfront. And because of the incredible construction and progress that is happening down there, it may be a challenge for us to put fireworks on the waterfront. You know, fireworks, Philadelphia has a very special relationship with fireworks. And if we set them off, people are going to come see them. And, you know, with that being a construction site, we're not sure we want to encourage people to come down there, right? It's not 100% ready for, you know, people to come down there, especially in the tens of thousands. There will be more than one fireworks show during Wild Wild Welcome America. There will obviously be one on July 4th. There may be two others. Those are still works in progress. It is always our desire to have more than one show, though. Where exactly they go off, though, it still remains to be seen.
Will there be any sort of cross-programming with Major League Baseball?
Yes. You know, how remains to be seen. But again, as I said, you know, you've got these four major things, the 250th Welcome America, FIFA, and Major League Baseball happening at the exact same time. One of the things that's interesting is while FIFA and Welcome America happen at the exact same time, Major League Baseball sort of happens just after July 4th. And I think that those dates are going to be announced soon or, you know, are getting finalized. But that's going to pretty much happen after the end of our festival. So while there may be some infrastructure, while there may be some activities linked to July 4th that linger on for Major League Baseball, those two events are going to happen side by side, not on top of each other. And so it might be slightly different than FIFA, which literally is happening at the exact same time.
This was a very exciting talk. Are there, what would you like to leave our listeners with as it relates to 2026 and Philadelphia Welcome America?
Well, I appreciate that question because one of the one key thing that I want everybody to know is as they hear about plans for 2026, it is very human to ask the question, how is this going to impact me and my family as Philadelphians? And I want every Philadelphian to know that anybody who is involved in planning 2026, whether it be the organizations we talked about today or dozens of other organizations who are planning things, we all share the commitment to make sure that we plan a celebration that does not happen to the city of Philadelphia, but happens with the city of Philadelphia.
Oh, kind of like the Pope's visit.
Oh, and, yeah, great. And other large scale events that scare people away. This is not the time to run and put your house up on Airbnb and find another place to be. This is the time to be a tourist in your own city and to take a fresh look at what Philadelphia is, what it is doing, and what it can be. We want Philadelphians to be part of this celebration. We need Philadelphians to be part of this celebration. We need everyday Philadelphians to walk down the street and smile and give directions and answer questions and be ambassadors for our city. This is not the time to hightail it out of the city. This is the time to stick around. And I promise you that plans are being made with Philadelphians in mind and their happiness and well-being in mind. Look, the city is going to be impacted. I can't say that it's not going to be. There are going to be street closures and there's going to be delays and, you know, there's going to be impacts on the city. But it's going to be a really exciting, vibrant time to be here. And we encourage everyone to stick around and experience it.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of local people who are looking forward to being ambassadors, you know. Yeah. Haddonfield, New Jersey happens to be home of the number one Revolutionary War reenactor, Robert Capella. And he visits the Independence Mall every 4th of July. Yeah. He is already planning to be, and he does it for free. He just shows up in his Revolutionary War garb. Bob Capella is going to be there on the Mall, being a citizen ambassador to the city of Philadelphia to celebrate this very special moment. So I think it's wonderful that you invite folks to do that.
Absolutely. There is a role for every Philadelphian in this celebration. And, you know, and like I said, it can be a passive role. It could simply just be walk down the street with a smile on your face so that when a family who's here from a foreign country may not know this language as well as they know their own language, they feel welcome and they feel at home. So there is a role for every Philadelphian in 2026.
And this is going to have a major economic impact, right? I mean, the numbers seem to be pretty staggering what they're projecting. Talk about that briefly.
Yeah, so it is going to have a significant, but also, and I think maybe even more important, lasting economic impact. You know, the reverberation of the investment that will be made in Philadelphia in 2026 will be felt in 2027, 2028, and beyond. That's part of what I talked about at the beginning with our city being a fundamentally different city. You can't spend this much money, bring this many people, and have this much activation in a city and not have the economic impact of that linger. Our job is to make sure we maximize that. We have to fill the balloon as much as we possibly can so that we can continue to make investments in Philadelphia in 2027 and beyond. We can continue those infrastructure projects. We can continue to market our city, and we can continue to think about how we position our city as the best place in the world to come and visit and enjoy. So yes, the economic impact will be staggering, probably unlike anything the city of Philadelphia has ever seen before. And our job is to make sure that we capitalize on that, but also make sure that it lasts. And those secondary and you know, lasting investments that we make, that's our gift back to the city of Philadelphia. That's our gift back to Philadelphians for being part of this celebration, as we want to make sure that we can continue to invest in our city with what we are able to generate from this incredible year.
So your programming press conference is coming up in May. Please remind us when that is again.
May 14th at 10 a.m. If you check out welcomeamerica.com or July4thPhilly.com or our social media channels, we'll announce it. We invite people to come on down. There's free food and music and entertainment. The location will be announced soon. We invite people to come down and learn all about Wawa Welcome America, get some free swag, listen to us talk about everything exciting that's coming this year. May 14th at 10 a.m.
Well, I'm definitely going to be tuning in. And I know on July 4th, you've got to be working on a Hall & Oates reunion, right? I mean, that's happening, right? Right? Please tell me it is.
You are not the first person who has put Hall & Oates reunion in my ear.
Nice.
I hear the people of Philadelphia talking. I mean, I'm listening.
This is brotherly love, dude. We could make this happen. Come on.
That's it. With enough rousing support from everybody. Yeah. Hall & Oates is certainly on the list. Look, there's a lot of iconic Philadelphia artists that are on the list that are going to get an invite to come back in 2026. We are definitely hoping to plan something that is an expression of music in Philadelphia. One of the things that we're going to announce this year at our press conference is an event, a brand new event that is designed to highlight Philadelphia artists and the music of Philadelphia. So more to come on that. But yeah, 2026 will not be without an expression of iconic Philadelphia artists, and Hall & Oates and others are certainly at the top of the list.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, nothing beats the sound of Philadelphia. So Michael Del Bain, thank you so much for joining us talking about Philadelphia 2026 and Welcome America. I really appreciate you taking the time on this final episode of season 3 of Philly Built. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you, Vern. It was great to be with you. I appreciate it.
You take good care. Well, folks, that's it for the third season of Philly Built. Be sure to check us out online at phillyzoning.com if you have any questions about building, zoning, and permitting in Philadelphia. And until next time, on behalf of producer Joey Sweeney, I'm Vern Anastasio. We'll see you soon on the next season of Philly Built.